Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 49. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow the podcast at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So, Action, kind of a crazy weekend in sports, but how was your personal weekend?
It was nice. Just hung around town here in Detroit, watched a little bit of football, got out and about. It was raining here all weekend, so didn't really get out too much. Had thought about going down to Ann Arbor to catch the Notre Dame game, but it ended up being a really crappy night, so I decided just to stay in. Turned it around a little bit, made some money both Saturday and Sunday, so that was good after my last weekend. How about yourself?
Well, as I texted you, the Shockers continue to roll. We're in the semifinals. We had a revenge spot against Flags and Flasks, and we just destroyed them 40-14. It wasn't even close. We were up like 21-0 at halftime and didn't look back. And your cousin was wheeling and dealing, no turnovers, which is a rarity for that guy. And just great defensive effort. We must have had three picks in the game, a few sacks. We're just kind of rolling. And we go into this week, the team that beat us a few weeks ago, when they came back down two scores and they beat us, they're Hulk smash. They're a really good ball club. So looking forward to it. And if we win that, we play in the finals right immediately after. So we could have two games this weekend. As you might know, and I'm sure it's cold in Detroit, it's getting a little chilly here in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's supposed to snow on Thursday.
Ooh.
And forecast isn't looking too great for Saturday either. So we'll see how it goes.
Nice. Well, I wish you all luck. Hopefully you can bring home the trophy. Probably have better odds without me this year, so
I don't know about that. And then betting wise, did much better. Not much better. It's like, you know, profit is 4-3. I'm doing better on my selections in this podcast than on my betting. I'm picking. Need to just bet them all and win more money, I guess. But yeah, we did better in Circa, so we'll talk about that in a minute too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's review the episode. We've got the big update with the World Series and Mattress Mack, and you can explain to us how he's hedging his bets here, literally and figuratively, at his furniture store. We'll go over our college picks. They did, you know, pretty good, kind of middle of the road. Go over the SP Plus ratings, injuries, and our spots for Week 10 in college football. Then jump into the NFL, one big injury, as you've noted, and then we'll go into our metrics, the Wegs Index, which helped us out in the Circa, and then go over the kind of the full slate of the NFL games and the index picks to maybe we can hone in again. Anything I'm forgetting here?
No, I don't think so. We are back in the winning ways of the Circa contest, so start of a new quarter this month too, so hopefully we can get that rocking and rolling.
That's right. Let's finish strong, maybe pick up a quarter and make some dough. So this industry update, Mattress Mack, if, you know, walk us through this. The Astros obviously play tonight. They can win, actually. You know, they're up 3-2. They've got two chances to win. If they win the World Series, then Mattress Mack wins $22 million?
Yeah, he's got, I heard an update this morning, he's got up to $12 million in bets. And because they have been planning this out so well, they've been taking a lot of plus money prices along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if the Astros end up winning the series, he'll win $22 million and only have a liability on the other side and $12 million in bets. So almost double your money for, double his money for him. And I also heard that he is hedging the potential liability on the furniture side of $20 million. Mm-hmm. Which he would lose if the Astros end up winning the series. So essentially what he's done is he's set himself up to profit either way, where he'll, you know, he's got the presumed profit and the furniture side that's already locked in, which he would lose $12 million in that case. Or on the other side, if the Astros do win the World Series, he's going to be up what I count to be about $2 million in profit above all of the furniture liability.
So if they lose the World Series, he would lose the $12 million.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Does he have that hedged in any way, or he just would lose the $12 million?
He would just lose $12 million in bets. Oh, but presuming that he's already got a huge profit in these furniture sales, which all the folks in Texas have gone in and bought extra furniture above and beyond and normal. So in theory, he's making profit that way.
Wow. Well, hey, I mean, obviously the guy's got some cash. He's got some great publicity on all these airways. I mean, we wouldn't have talked about him otherwise. So, you know, good luck to you. Although, you know, Janelle on our team is a big Washington Nationals fan. She was out for some games this weekend. So a little disappointed there. But it's been a pretty good World Series, as we talked about last week.
Yeah, and I think the Nationals are live underdogs tonight with Strasburg taking the hill. So it should be a great finish to the series. Hopefully it goes seven games.
Exactly. Well, let's jump into college. Recap from last week. Some huge upsets this week, which made Saturday really fun. We were at the bar watching kind of when the first two upsets came in. The first one was Oklahoma. Oklahoma went down to Kansas State. We really didn't talk about this game because we thought that was kind of maybe not a rocking chair game, but they could, you know, Oklahoma's been rolling and they didn't get it done. They lost outright and really they were down huge in that game. They were down by 25 points and made a furious comeback to almost come back, but they ended up losing the game and kind of knocks them out of the Final Four discussion for the moment.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma might be on the outside looking in unless they get some serious help with other contenders losing ahead of them. But the defense really just got gashed on Saturday, yeah, which was a surprise to me because they have been playing so much better lately. And Kansas State really put it to them, ended up winning the game 48-41.
Yeah, incredible game. They just ran all over them early. And, I mean, Hurts had a big game like he always does, but that's kind of the way that offense works. Rolling into our picks, we were on two different sides of this pick. Texas, who I thought, you know, obviously one of my darling picks in the beginning of the season, which is fumbled, against TCU. Texas had a golden opportunity to jump right back in the conversation for the Big 12 title, and then they lay an egg at TCU. TCU kind of rolled them. They beat them 37-27, and, you know, Texas just couldn't stop that team, you know, similar to the Sooners in Manhattan. So, obviously, Texas couldn't cover the number, and they lost the game outright, and that kind of ends their chances at the Big 12.
Yeah, it was really kind of an even game in terms of yardage, but the main difference was just the turnovers. Four on the side of the Texas Longhorns, and Ellinger had a few interceptions, which were just bad, bad throws. And that'll lose you games 9 times out of 10 when you get beat in the turnover department.
Right. We'll talk about this team later, but it kind of opens the door for Baylor. And it's kind of weird. Baylor isn't really in the discussion early in the season, but they're undefeated in the Big 12. And, I mean, they still got to win the Big 12 title against Oklahoma or somebody, but opens the door for them. So we'll see what happens in this Big 12 race.
Mm-hmm.
The next game we took a hit on was Missouri. I don't know what's going on with this team. This team was really good. Remember, they were in the top 10 in the SP Plus for a while. And you were on them at Kentucky thinking, you know, Kentucky doesn't have anything to work on offense. It didn't matter. This Missouri team sucked, and they got beat 29-7. This wasn't even close.
Yeah, this was a total butt-whipping. I was out to dinner on Saturday, so I didn't get to see too much of this one. But I remember looking at the box score and seeing that Missouri was down 22-0 at halftime, and I was dumbfounded personally.
Yeah.
I can't understand how it happened, and they just got demolished in the rushing game. Kentucky ran for almost 300 yards against Missouri. Ooh. So that right there can tell you where the game was lost.
Interesting. I don't, you know, sometimes these college kids just don't travel. I don't know if maybe they partied or something. I don't know what they did. They just weren't ready to play. And that Missouri team is kind of trending way down now in the metrics. Another game that we penciled in was Navy. They were 3-point favorites against Tulane at home. Navy has been rolling, and they still are rolling. They're playing very well, but they couldn't cover this number. The Green Wave, they were game. They kept scoring. I mean, it just this game was a high-flying affair, 41-38. So it was a push in our bets.
Yeah, this was a tough one for me personally because I looked down, and Navy was up 31-14 at halftime and really just cruising. But that Tulane team really has a potent offense, and they showed it in the second half coming back to close that game within three. So it was a tough push.
That's right. My pick, one of my teams I've been just riding, Memphis, was at Tulsa. They were laying 10.5. Obviously, way too many points. Tulsa came to play. It was interesting when we talked on the podcast last week. I think you laid out the handicap for this game. Tulsa's schedule was pretty tough.
Yeah.
And they showed that they really should have beat Memphis. They had them on the ropes were up, and Tulsa had a late field goal. But even before that, they had the lead, and Memphis had to score late to beat them 42-41, another high-scoring affair in the American.
Yeah, Tulsa kicker, you got to feel for him. He had a chance to win the game and just shanked one at the end. So Memphis held on to get the victory.
Yeah, we don't know anything about shank kicks in Chicago. You know? The other one, again, another loser, Miami played at Pitt. Pitt's been one of our darling teams. Maybe the number, you know, SP Plus had this right. Miami was better in the SP Plus. Pitt was laying 5.5. I looked at the box score here, action, and Miami kind of got dominated. Pitt just turned the ball over, and Miami was able to turn it into touchdowns, you know, and they won 16-12. It was kind of a brutal game. But Pitt kind of lost an opportunity here and clearly didn't cover the 5.5.
Yeah, this one was on earlier in the day, so I did get a chance to watch most of it, and you're right, it was very frustrating to watch because Pittsburgh was moving the ball all over them and getting into red zone opportunities time and time again, but they just couldn't convert any of them into touchdowns. So that's the reason they lost this game.
That's right. Well, let's talk about some winners now, okay?
All right.
The Hoosiers, your Hoosiers, man. We talked about it. Penix played. No, he didn't.
No.
He didn't play. I know. I totally locked this in thinking he was going to play because all the reports said he practiced and everything. And Ramsey comes out and plays, but it doesn't matter. They go to Nebraska and Lincoln, and they won in a shootout 38-31, but that offense is humming no matter who's a quarterback.
Yeah, it was incredible. I did watch this one too, and I also bet the over thinking that both Penix and Adrian Martinez were going to play. And then in pregame warmups, I see that neither of them are going, and I was feeling kind of down about it. But Peyton Ramsey was awesome. Really couldn't miss a pass. Ended up being 27 for 40 for over 350 yards passing. And that Indiana offense was really humming up and down the field on Saturday. And they're now bowl eligible for probably the earliest time in the season that I can remember.
Yeah, they're legit. I like the way they play. And obviously, they're a fun team to watch. And, you know, watch out. I mean, I don't know what they're in the East, though, right? The Big Ten East?
They are, yeah. So
yeah,
they
are. Too bad. If they're in the West, they'd have a chance.
Yeah, Big Ten Championship is out. But if things break right, they could end up in the Rose Bowl, Wex.
Ooh, look out. That would be amazing. Yeah, you'd probably go down to Pasadena for that, right?
Yeah, probably.
All right, the next game, we talked about it, Auburn at LSU. LSU has been rolling through everybody like a hot knife through butter. And Auburn was getting 11.5. I just thought this was too many points, and it was true. Auburn was right there for this game. LSU did win the game. I think that home field advantage won out in the end. And, you know, Bo Nix was decent but not great. But that Auburn defense is legit, holding LSU to probably their lowest total on the year. But they still win the game 23-20.
Yeah, this was a pretty back and forth affair. And really, it's got to be said that LSU did have a chance to get a cover there late in the game, but they just couldn't get the ball in the end zone. And it was a good, tightly contested matchup. And Joe Burrow was steady, not quite his Heisman winning candidate numbers. But it was a good win for LSU, and they're undefeated. And now they've got the bye heading into Tuscaloosa in 2 weeks for the That's biggest right. game of the season.
No doubt. They both are sitting there and stare at each other and watch some tape. The last game was Penn State. They were laying 6.5 points at Michigan State. I was all over this game. Love Penn State, mainly because Michigan State can't score, and it proved correct. Penn State destroyed them 28-7. It didn't even feel that close. It was Michigan State kind of scored later in the game. And Penn State's looking pretty good. They are also undefeated, are they not?
They are indeed, yeah, which sets up for a huge showdown in a couple of weeks against Ohio State. Can't wait to watch that one. But you're right, Michigan State, I ended up on them myself this weekend, and that one was clearly a loser from the opening whistle. They just can't move the ball. Their offense is inept, and I think that my season win total bet is probably in the garbage, along with any other Michigan State tickets that I may or may not have the rest of the season. But I think they're off my list. Cross them off.
I had a question about this, actually, Action. I was listening Saturday morning to a lot of stuff, and we talked about it just a bit. Yeah, the Sharps, everybody was betting Michigan State, and I was freaking out because I already had the ticket out at 6.5. I think it got down to 4.5 or something like that, maybe 4. And they used a term that I had not used before, and it's not, or heard before, and I'm not it's probably not a culturally appropriate term, but they were saying that the sharps were trying to middle the game somehow by quote unquote scalping the line or scalping or something like that.
Okay.
Have you heard that term before?
Scalping? Yeah, I think it's just another term for like arbitrage. So okay. That these guys will, they what they do, they also use the term shaping a line, where okay. especially early on in the week, some of these guys will put down some bets at the lower limits before the limits rise to try right. and get the books to think that they're going a certain direction. And then as the line moves that way later in the week, Thursday and Friday, when the limits get increased tremendously, they'll come back fivefold on the other okay. side on the number that they really want.
Interesting. Okay, and that makes sense. And I was looking at that in a couple of instances. I kind of felt, although it didn't roll our way with the Eagles too, it felt like people were trying to move lines on that game late, you know, not during the week. But middling is something we've talked about on other podcasts. You want to just explain it to people one more time since, I don't know, we always...
So the idea being that you might take a heavy underdog early in the week. In this case, you could have gotten Michigan State +7, which I did, in fact. Mm-hmm. With a little extra juice in my case, but you get them at +7, then the line goes down as more and more sharps per se bet on the underdog, and it goes down to this case in 4.5 or so. And then you could lay the 4.5 with the favorite. If the game ends up landing 5 mm-hmm. or 6, then you end up winning both bets and you middle the game, which is a double cash.
That's right. Double dip. So interesting. And that's what they were discussing on VSiN on Saturday morning, and I was kind of freaking out about it, but then in the end,
yeah, I wouldn't freak out about betting against Michigan State anymore in the future.
No, but I will say we haven't mentioned them in a while because their schedule is easy as hell. Your ticket on Minnesota to win the Big Ten West is live. I mean, they're undefeated, which is crazy. And until they play somebody good, I know their next three games are probably a little tougher, but they can still win the Big Ten West. You can cash a decent ticket there.
Yeah, they are looking good to win the West. They do have to play Penn State still, which yep. is a home game. And then obviously they'll have the finale against Wisconsin, which will probably end up deciding the West. But correct. They do get them at home this year. So as long as they can get to that final weekend, I'll have myself a decent hedge opportunity, although I expect them to be pretty large underdogs to Ohio State.
Right. Agreed. Okay, well, let's go over the SP Plus metrics. As I mentioned before the podcast, Ohio State now over a point difference between the field, and that's Alabama being number two. So they are just destroying the universe right now. There was no doubt on Saturday that they were going to win that game.
A little bit of doubt in the first quarter, but it was 3-0 for quite some time. And you really have to feel for those folks who may have bet on Wisconsin in the first half, because it was down to under 2 minutes, I believe. And then Ohio State ripped off a long touchdown to end up going 10-0 at halftime. But then in the second half, they really came out after a quick Wisconsin touchdown and just ran Wisconsin out of the building. So a dominating performance by the defensive end, Chase Young, the defensive mm-hmm. end. Yeah, monster game. 4 sacks and a couple of forced fumbles, which really changed the tide of the game.
And you think he might, even though there's been a lot of robust quarterback conversation, that he's a outsider for the Heisman.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this award, it's supposed to go to the best college football player. And right now, Chase mm-hmm. Young is by far and away the best college football player this season. So at 20-1, I think he might be a live underdog.
That's right. Well, the rest of the top 10 in the SP Plus, you've got obviously Alabama 2. LSU is right there at 3. Oklahoma at 4. Clemson at 5, Georgia at 6, Penn State at 7, Wisconsin down to 8, Utah at 9, and then Auburn at 10. So it hasn't changed that much from last week mm-hmm. at all.
Yeah, not much change here at the top, except for the lead that Ohio State keeps growing on the rest of the field. And I can't wait right. to see that LSU-Alabama game. It looks like, based on these numbers, that Alabama might be a sizable home favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they probably will be. We'll see. I mean, that offense, we'll see if it's for real against that Alabama defense. So there's a couple of injuries that might affect some lines. You've got the Central Florida running back, Adrian Killens. He left with a shoulder injury, so he may or may not play against Houston. LSU has injuries in their secondary at safety and corner, but they have a week to kind of lick their wounds before mm-hmm. Alabama. Got Kentucky quarterback, Lynn Bowden Jr. undisclosed injury, and you had Sawyer Smith under center, and he obviously played decent.
Yeah, and it looks like that Bowden did come back late in the game, and he was the one who really killed Missouri on the ground. So even though he can't pass, he can certainly run.
That's right. And then you had to slip in this Indiana linebacker, huh?
Yeah.
Tom Allen Jr.
Oh, you never heard of Tom Allen Jr.? Yeah.
Oh, no. I know senior. I know Tom Allen Sr.
Coach's son. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's out for the
okay.
season. So it was a big loss for the team.
Well, good transition as always, Action. You're great at those transitions. We've got our Week 10 spots, and the first one is Indiana. They are hosting Northwestern. They're an 11.5-point favorite right now. A little bit of juice on that number. I'm all in with this pick. I already bet it as well at 11.5. I do think the market's undervaluing these Hoosiers is because, you know, they're not at the top end of the Big Ten, but they're playing incredible football. And according to SP Plus, it should be, you know, 19 or 20 point spread.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this Northwestern team is really bad this season. They have an offense which is near the bottom of Division I, ranked 126th, according to SP Plus. And the Indiana defense, much maligned in seasons past, is actually performing quite well this year, up in 42nd ranked. So I don't really think that Northwestern is going to be able to do much of anything on offense. And it's clear that this Indiana offense has been very good this year, up in the top 15 now of SP Plus. So I think that the Hoosiers are going to run away with this game on Saturday night, and they can easily cover this number.
Yeah, no doubt. Northwestern got destroyed at home by Iowa, and Iowa can't score. I mean, it's wait till Indiana faces this team, you know? So
yeah, and presumably Penix might even be back this weekend as well.
Woohoo! The next game you've highlighted is Kansas is hosting Kansas State. It's a battle for the Sunflower State. They're getting 6.5 at home. You also like the over in this game at 54. Why do you like this game?
Well, I don't know if you saw the end of that Kansas-Texas Tech game on Saturday night.
A little crazy, the blocked field goal.
Yeah, blocked field goal at the end. And then as Texas Tech looked to run down the field, they lateraled it unknowingly, dropped the ball, and then Kansas recovered and had a chance to kick a second field goal to win the game, and they did. So huge momentum game for Kansas. And I think that they're going to take a little bit of that mo into this weekend where they're facing off against their in-state rival, Kansas State, who obviously came off a huge win of their own at Oklahoma. But really, I think the big difference here is just the new offensive coordinator for Kansas, Brent Dierman, has taken over. This will be his third game, and he has really breathed some new life into this team. And they're running up-tempo offense and passing the ball all over the field. And that senior quarterback, Carter Stanley, has been pretty good this season. And I expect that there's going to be a little bit of scoring, and Kansas should be able to keep this close within a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Kansas played good against, what was it, Texas the week before? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've been playing some good football, and Les Miles, the head coach, is getting this team to believe, and that's all you really need sometimes. And I do believe a letdown for Kansas State, even though it's an in-state rivalry game. So, good spot. You definitely like the over because of that offense then, too.
Yeah,
huh?
I think that you're getting a little bit of value there, too. Kansas State has a pretty decent defense, but the odds makers are totaling this game like it's the old Kansas offense. They run a much higher tempo now, and I think this number is not reflective of that.
Yeah, it's still sitting at 54. All right, this is an auto fade of one of our teams, West Virginia, but Baylor's actually really good. Baylor's hosting West Virginia. Right now, Baylor is laying 17.5. I did get it at 17.5. I know you got it at 17. Good job. Baylor's 7-0. They could let down against this crappy West Virginia team, but I kind of feel like they won't. And we're already seeing value that the line should be 24. That's how bad West Virginia is. So I like Baylor to rock and roll. If they were going to play like Oklahoma next week, I could see it as a look ahead spot, but that's not really the case here. So I like Baylor to roll in this game.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. Like you mentioned, I already jumped on this as well. And I think you have the added boost that the West Virginia quarterback is coming off of an injury, didn't play the week before. And I do know they're coming off of a bye, so there's potential he could be out. But pure fade of West Virginia, you can't go wrong there.
That's right. The next game is Tulsa at Tulane. Tulsa came off that game where they almost beat Memphis, and now they're playing Tulane, who, you know, had kind of the heartbreaker there. They're 10-point favorites at home. I think the Green Wave are a better football team. And you talked about their offense. I think they're going to play really well. 15.5 is what SP Plus has this, so 10 seems like a value. Any thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I think you're probably on the right side there. You also have this Tulsa team, which came off the near upset of Memphis over the weekend, so it's likely going to be a little bit of a flat spot for them. And this Tulsa offense has been phenomenal this season. They're averaging 6.5 yards per play, and that's ranked 15th in the nation. And they're facing off against a Tulsa defense that gives up 5.7 yards per play. So a considerable drop off there defensively. And I think that Tulane definitely has the firepower to cover this.
All right. I'll be looking at it. I'm hoping it goes just under 10, but if it stays at 10, that's fine. A game I just want to discuss. This is, you know, kind of a broken record every week. Memphis, somehow SP Plus loves this team, and they've actually kind of been, since I've been following them, more like 2-2 against the spread. But they're playing SMU. This is a huge game. SMU has got an incredible offense. Memphis does too. I wonder what the total is in this one. Originally, this opened up at 3 points for Memphis, and I was all over this game, and now it's up to 5.5. So I'm thinking I'm going to stay away at this point at 5.5. But why do you think Memphis is such a darling in the SP Plus, but, you know, SMU is not, for example?
You know, I can't get it either. And to answer your first question, the total is 69.5, which
big number.
Probably a little short with these two offenses. But I don't get it. I think that SMU is the better team here. They have a huge edge in the net yards per play. 1.3 yards better per play than Memphis.
Right.
And this offense behind Shane Bouchel and the wide receiver Robeson have just been torching opponents this season. So I do think that Memphis is probably a little bit overvalued here. And if this game gets to 7, you can count me jumping all over it with SMU. So I'll be looking at that one as well.
I agree. They're 8-0. They're playing for the championship in the American. And, you know, Memphis is 7-1, but they've kind of had a couple of games where they've been a little bit dicey. So we'll see. We'll check that one out as it goes through the week. Here's one you never thought I was going to talk about. Miami at Florida State. Both teams that I hate. And Miami obviously came through last week against Pitt. But Florida State isn't good. They had that little run where they had Hornibrook start, and it seems like they've gone back to their other guy. Was it Blackman?
Mm-hmm.
And Miami's getting points, but they're the better team. It's hard to say. I don't know. It's a game that it's hard to trust a bad team like the Canes, but and I originally saw this game at 5.5 early, and I didn't jump on it, so now it's down to 3. Any interest in jumping on the Hurricanes at Florida State?
No, I don't think so. If I was looking at this game, it would probably be to back the home Seminoles, but I don't really have any interest in this one at all.
Gotcha. Here's a game that's an interesting one. Oregon at USC. This is a big game for Oregon because they still could technically be in the national picture if they run the table with that loss to Auburn, since everybody else is losing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to go at USC. They are laying 4.5. I like the Trojans. I think that this game is going to be an incredible matchup. There's going to be a lot of NFL players on this field, so I really want to watch the game. I think this game should be more like 3 points instead of 4.5. But I'm interested in your thoughts on this one.
Well, I think that when you handicap the USC games, you really have to look at the opponent's pass defense. And Oregon has a pretty good defense. They fare very well against passing opponents. They're 25th ranked in yards per pass is allowed. And Kadon Slovis has been playing very well this season, but you also have to factor in Oregon now feels like they have new life with the college football playoff with the Oklahoma loss.
Sure.
So
true.
I think that if there's any week Oregon is going to be up for an opponent, it's going to be this one. So I probably would be looking at the Oregon side if I was going to play this one.
Okay.
Why do you like USC?
Well, you know, I've been on them most of the season to go over their win total in general, and I think that they've kind of come through that way. They've definitely covered some numbers. You know, they covered at Notre Dame. They've beaten some teams they probably shouldn't have beat, and I think they beat Utah earlier this year. So it's kind of like one of these things where I think that their talent sometimes against better – sometimes when you have talented guys on average teams or decent teams, when they play against the better team, they step up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, it can go the complete other way where they just fold up and don't care. But I kind of feel like in this marquee situation, some of those USC receivers who are incredible – are just going to have that NFL type game, and it should just be a really exciting game to watch. And it, outside of a field goal, I mean, you're talking about 4.5, that's some value there. I just like it. You know, a late score like they did against Notre Dame, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So. Oregon does have a considerable edge in the net yards per play as well. They are 1.2 points better than USC. So something to watch there if you're into the math kind of stuff.
There's no math on this show. Come on. The last one I just wanted to discuss, you know, originally the numbers, I kind of screwed it up, but TCU is going to Oklahoma State. TCU is favored by 3. Originally I thought it was the other way around, and I was all over Oklahoma State. I just feel like TCU is going to have a huge letdown this week, playing on the road after the big win. And so I still may back Oklahoma State, especially if it's just the 3 points. Any thoughts on that one?
Not really, to be honest with you. I have decided that I'm not doing well in a few teams in the Big 12 this season, and Oklahoma State, TCU are two of them, along with Oklahoma. I'm passing on all Big 12 games from here on out. So.
Gotcha. So, yeah, no, you're only the Big 3. But
yeah, that's right.
That's smart.
A few conferences I like to focus on. Kansas I like. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe against West Virginia, I gotcha. So. Okay, well, let's move to the NFL. Big injury is J.J. Watt. You put it on here. He tore his pectoral. This guy can't finish a season, man. I mean, I feel bad for him. J.J. Watt's been a face of the NFL for a couple of years now, and he just can't seem to stay on the field. This year, the torn pec, it's a shame, but we'll see how Houston holds up on that defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, the Houston defense has been giving up gobs and gobs of yards, so losing him is not going to be helpful at all. And you're right, I think this is 3 out of the last 4 seasons where he's had a season-ending injury.
Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, it's one of those things, like, you get that athletic peak and then you're amazing. And then all of a sudden your body starts giving out like AJ Green,
yeah.
You know, same kind. Mm-hmm. So I don't know any others. There's been some trades in the NFL. We didn't put out that on there. There's a bunch of stuff going on. A lot of, even before the game last week, you know, Sanders got traded, Manuel Sanders. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Sanu went to the Patriots, and Leonard Williams gets traded. That doesn't make any sense. The Giants. Talib got traded today to the Dolphins.
Yeah. I saw that. Strange, huh?
I guess it's just an offload of salary and try to make room for Jalen Ramsey's re-signing for the Rams. So
Kenyon Drake to the Arizona Cardinals, I saw as well.
That's right. A lot of injuries there to the Cardinals, both David Johnson and Chase Edmonds. Thank you, Chase Edmonds. He goes there. He's going to get immediate touches. So that's, you know, keeping that offense moving. So, yeah, a lot of stuff. And then the return of Drew Brees came back. We didn't even talk about that, too. He played very well this week. So
yeah, predictably started a little slow in that first quarter, but he really looked good after halftime, and the Saints ran that one up.
That's right. Well, let's go into the net yards per play metrics that you have here. You want to go over those?
Yeah, a new king at the top, the San Francisco 49ers, although I think they were there last week as well.
Yeah, that's a couple weeks, right?
Dallas at 1.4, Minnesota 1.3, New England and Kansas City are round at the top 5, both at 1.1. And then you've got the LA Rams and Buffalo, which aren't too far behind at 7/10 and 6/10 per play.
That's right. And you got your bottom guys, Miami. Woo. They're getting better, though, right? They hung in there for a half.
Yeah, still below a -2 yards per play, which is preposterous. It's just so bad, so bad.
Cincinnati, they're at -1.7. That's terrible. Man, the Jets didn't show up, didn't they? They were terrible in Jacksonville. -1.4, Arizona -0.8, Washington -0.7. All the bad teams here. Giants, actually, Arizona's not terrible. The Giants -0.7, and then Indy, you know, again, mystery, but it worked in our circa contest, -0.6. So not as many surprises. You know, you see the same team every week, I guess.
Yeah, it is really remarkable just how these yards per play metrics really pan out to show you who the good teams are and who the bad teams are. Do you find that fascinating, Wiggs, like I do?
I do. No, I mean, it's true. I mean, we've done this a couple of years now, and that eventually it works that way out. You know, it's just that there's a couple mystery teams like Indy, and I know the Packers were down there for a while. You know, on the flip side, you know, you've got teams like Dallas that are incredible in yards per play, but they're only like 3-3 or 4-3. You know, they just can't seem to. It's turnovers, right? It's not factored into yards per play. So
true.
It's interesting. Not too dissimilar from the old Weggs index here. 49ers have now jumped the Patriots in all the
right.
Weggs. This just in. So this team, they just completely destroyed Carolina. And, you know, we talked a little bit about it last week, how 5.5 might have been a big number. But I don't think it matters for the 49ers. They might even be better than the Patriots. I know I'm saying this because of the index, but their defense is incredible, kind of like the Patriots. But they just ran all over Carolina, and that defense was supposed to be decent.
Yeah, and really, when you look at the DVOA, they're not too far behind that New England defense, only about 2 percentage points right now. So number 2 ranked, and I certainly think they're playing well. I think it really helps, though, that you have this offense that just runs the ball like crazy. And
right.
They do such a good job of keeping possession that their defense doesn't have to play a lot of defense. You always hear Michael Lombardi say that the best defense is the one that plays the least. So I think
true.
Shanahan does a good job.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of crazy. Tevin Coleman goes off. So the Patriots are number 2. Vikings are 3, very similar to the net yards per play. Cowboys 4, so very similar. The Ravens are not on your net yards per play. They're number 5. Rams at 6. And guess what? I had to put it on there. Saints are 7. So they're just, like I told you, like a bullet. They were probably down in the 18-19 range to start the year, and they're just every week get a little bit better. And obviously with Breeze back, that's going to up their offensive metrics, which is going to shoot them up as well.
Yeah.
The thing about the Patriots beyond, I was a little surprised they actually fell to 2. You know, they're minus 17 in turnover differential this year. Or plus 17. I'm sorry, plus 17.
That is incredible. That's
a full 10 above anybody else in the whole league. I mean, they're just killing it. Some of the things we didn't put on the outline that I wanted to talk about a little bit. It was an interesting week because I think moneyline bettors did very well if they picked the favorites this week. But from a spread standpoint, it was atrocious. The dogs destroyed it again this week. I have it where there were only like 4 or 5 actual covers, depending on what number you got.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, the dogs just 10-4 this week. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah, you're right. The closing number is obviously a big difference, but favorites 13-2 straight up, which was mm-hmm. a massive week. And the home teams fared okay. Road teams did go 8-6 ATS, but mm-hmm. I believe that the home teams did a better job straight up. So,
right.
And then you did have unders come in heavy this week, 9-6, and they still have a pretty commanding lead, 64-56 on the season.
Yes, it's just the books must be making money hand over fist this year.
So, yeah, not unlike every year.
right, exactly. Well, let's go into the circuit contest. We finally had a good week. We bounced back. We went 4-1. Yes.
Yes.
Except for you, Bills, you're dead to me. No, I'm just joking.
Oh, that reminds me. I wanted to ask you in regards to the Bills. I do believe that the Weggs Index is doing a great job, but do you mm-hmm. consider that potentially there is one minor flaw in that having to do with the strength of schedules, a la the Buffalo Bills, perhaps?
Yeah, we talked about that another time that, you know, I don't have that captured in there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could figure that out one way or another, but I have to use somebody else's strength of schedule metric, and I don't know what that means. Is that wins, or how do you figure out a strength of schedule? Is it somebody, because, you know, you have certain teams that have played nobody,
right.
And there's other people that have, like the Bills, and then I don't think the Eagles are great shakes. They just ran the ball really well for once. So, yeah, there is a flaw in the system, and that's why, you know, it's not going to be perfect, 4-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to figure that. And that's where with handicaps, you still have to look at it and say, huh, that's interesting. It's still from a numbers standpoint. I mean, Michael Lombardi was going off about the Eagles, how they were much better than the Bills. Of course, all those other picks sucked. But
right. I love how he always loves to tout his picks on Monday morning, too. Like, oh, well, I said blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Sure. He also liked the Cardinals at the Saints. So, yeah. You know, with the points. So, you know what I mean? Like, so whatever. But anyway, I digress. It's kind of like, to me, I still think – I'm not sure what happened in that game. It was a close game. You know, Allen turned the ball over at the end of the half, as he's done before, and they turned into a touchdown. That second half, maybe Peterson just made a lot of adjustments because it was a different game in the second half. They scored almost every time they had the ball, and it was disappointing and sad.
Yeah, and not to say that it's a flaw, but I was just thinking that going forward, maybe that's something that we should consider as like the last bit of information that we should consider before we lock in our picks.
For sure. I like that. So we're up to 1137th, which is still 11 behind the leaders. The guy who won the quarter isn't even in the top 10 yet, by the way.
Wow.
From what I saw, but he went 17-2-1 this month. So something to aspire to.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty damn good. That's amazing. He actually needed, I don't know if you read this, he needed Miami to cover last night.
Yeah, I did see that. What a sweat that was. I went to bed, but I read about it this morning that if you had Miami, it was really down to nail-biting time there at the end.
Well, I think Boswell missed a field goal, and then Miami kept turning the ball over, and then they were just right there. You know, just score. Just get it in the end zone. Yeah, so that's too bad. Well, let's jump into this slate this week. Kind of some interesting games. You know, the Thursday night game is San Francisco and Arizona. We'll talk about it briefly, but we don't usually pick this game because of the structure of the contest. You've got San Francisco 10-point favorites at Arizona, total of 44. When I look at this game, you know, San Francisco's been a wrecking ball, and I would mainly look at the total here, maybe as an under. Mm-hmm. You know, the 10's kind of a big number, but you know, we don't have to talk too much about it, I guess.
I would lean to the Niners here, minus 10. Mm-hmm. Their defense is superior, and I think that their run game is just going to run all over their Arizona team. They're 26th ranked in defending the run, so I expect Tevin Coleman and company to have a big night. And I do agree with you, the under is a good look. I did bet the first half under 22 already.
And if you're playing fantasy football, play your tight end against Arizona. That's George Kittle.
Yeah. Also a good call.
Yeah, so the next game is the Houston Texans are going to Jacksonville. They are laying 1.5 on the road right now, total being 47. It's actually not in Jacksonville. It's the future home of Jacksonville, which is London. You know, Jacksonville's been great in London. So mm-hmm. It's kind of like their second home, and everybody loves them there. This is one of the picks I'd be interested in, although it was at 2 originally or 2.5 when I first looked at it. So I am interested in the Jags in this game. I know that it's probably a lot to follow Minshew Mania again, but what do you think about that game?
I'm in agreement right there with you. You mentioned it already. This Jacksonville team goes to London every season, mm-hmm. so they clearly know what the trip is like. And when you look on the other side, Houston is really racking up some injuries. Mm-hmm. You've got this couple offensive linemen who still aren't back from injury. The guard, Titus Howard, hasn't played in 2 to 3 weeks, and now Will Fuller has been sitting on the sidelines, and you add in J.J. Watt on the flip side, and I think you have one team which has some serious momentum mm-hmm. going to London, and the other team which is trending in the downward direction. So
right.
I agree. I would be all over Jacksonville.
Excellent. Yeah, and the other thing to think about, too, is, you know, Jacksonville is still in the hunt for this division. I mean, this is a division that it's basically 5-3 or 4-4, the entire division, so it's just anybody can win it. Jacksonville may stick with Minshew when Foles comes back. I'm not sure, but despite the trade of Ramsey, this team is still playing pretty good football. So they obviously dominated the Jets last week.
Mm-hmm.
Next game is Washington at the Bills. The Bills let us down last week, no doubt. They are laying 9.5 points at home. This is a crazy low total of 36.5. I can't, you know what? We love the Bills. I'm not going to give up on the Bills. I've got my Jim Kelly jersey on right now. But it is a big number for the Bills. And my biggest concern is Josh Allen's turnovers. This guy is killing us in these games. I mean, he almost lost us week one because he kept turning the ball over. And I don't think it was the only reason why they lost on Sunday. But too many fumbles, too many turnovers for Allen. And these bigger numbers, tough to cover.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's a really large number for Buffalo. And to be honest with you, if I was going to play this game, it would probably be on the other side. Mm-hmm. You also saw Washington cover a large number at Minnesota last week.
That's true.
And really the offense didn't play that poorly. I thought Case Keenum looked good in that game. And their defense is actually pretty stout. So if there was any side I'd be looking, it would be on Washington. But I'm happy to pass.
Yeah, me too. It's kind of in line of where it should be, so it's going to be a closer one that I don't want to sweat that one.
Yep.
This is an interesting game that doesn't have a line, although I saw on Odd Shark there was some advanced line of 2.5. The Vikings at Kansas City, they're obviously waiting to see if Patrick Mahomes is going to play. You know, it's one of these games where I kind of want them. I want Mahomes to play in a way to lay some points. I think the Vikings are legit. I mean, look, they can take advantage of this Kansas City defense for sure, both in the passing game and the run game. And that defense is super solid. So I really like the Vikings in this spot. I just don't know what the number is going to be. Look at the index. Let's take a peek here. Yeah, it's just one of those things. At 2.5, it'd be a slam dunk to me. I think that those guys, it should be closer to a pick 'em. These teams are really, you know, the Vikings are a better team. I don't know. We'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that Minnesota has been playing better of recent weeks compared to Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I think we would prefer Mahomes to play because that would likely inflate the number, and we can almost get to 3 or even 3.5 at some books potentially.
Sure.
So, and you also have to consider that it's unlikely Mahomes is going to have any mobility if he does play, and he's going to be facing off against a defense in Minnesota that likes to get after the quarterback.
That's right.
They're ranked 10th in defensive line sack percentage in the adjusted sack rate. So I would like the Vikings as well.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Moore played capably against the Packers. He was fine. In fact, it was just a late touchdown by the Packers, but we can kind of talk about them in a minute. But
Miraculous touchdown, you mean?
What's that?
The miraculous touchdown.
God. I mean, this dude is whatever, man. I mean, I like seeing artistry. You know, I mean, he's great. And obviously, as a Bears fan, you hate the Packers. But come on, that was just insane play. Next game is the Jets at the Dolphins. The Dolphins, although they may be quote-unquote tanking, they're playing better. You've got Fitzmagic at quarterback and certainly a pretty capable quarterback there. The Jets are laying 3 on the road. Now, I don't want to bet on this game action. I'll tell you that right now. When I first saw it open up at 5.5, I was all over like the Dolphins, which I know we can't
really
the Dolphins anymore.
But did you lock it in?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Like an idiot. But now it's down to 3. It seems a little bit more right-sized there. The Dolphins are still the worst in all metrics, but the Jets on the road, I mean, you've talked about it. Darnold might lead the league in interceptions and miss like 3 games.
Yeah, I want no part of Miami, especially after that play at the end of the first half last night where they gifted Pittsburgh a touchdown. And it's clear to me they have no interest in winning football games. So how could you possibly bet on them, especially with a number this short? I think that it has to be the Jets or pass here. And I'm okay with not putting our $1 million on it, but I'm probably going to be betting the Jets personally.
Gotcha. That's cool. All right, the Bears at Philadelphia. Man, the Bears. God damn it. I mean, look, we bet against the Bears last week. And I'm glad it came in. In fact, I was looking for a perfect situation where the Bears win the game and cover our bet. But of course, Pinheiro, whatever his name is, hooks the friggin' field goal again. I mean, I don't know how they keep finding these kickers that can't friggin' nail it. Like your guy, of course, the Colts put it right through Vinatieri. But
yeah,
what a cluster. The bottom line is the Bears' red zone offense is terrible, and it showed again. They couldn't get in the end zone against the Chargers. They had the ball inside the 20 like 3 times in the first half and got like 9 points. I mean, it was a joke. And then, you know, the Philadelphia finally got right. I don't know what to expect in this game. 4.5 does seem like a big number for the Eagles, but at the same time, you can't back the Bears at all. I just can't do it right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this number on its surface looks a little bit inflated for the Eagles, because I don't think that this offense is a team that's been playing like 4.5-point favorites against a good defense when it comes down to
Absolutely.
It. But on the flip side, I'm right there with you. I don't have interest in taking points with the Bears right now.
Yeah, can't do it. It's a shame. I mean, the index would say take this. I just can't do it. That's my beloved.
Wait, the index says take Chicago?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
4.5 is too many points. But again, the Bears may go out there and not score or miss a bunch of field goals or turn the ball over, you know. So,
yeah.
The Colts at the Steelers. Right now it's listed as a pick 'em. I think the Steelers might be favored in BetOnline by 1. Really interesting situation here. I'm not advocating for taking this pick, but the index does show the Steelers actually is a slightly better team, and they're basically doing a pick at home. It's a stay-away spot for me, even though the index is telling me to do it. What are your thoughts on the Colts? We've talked about kind of them. The Steelers, that defense is good.
Yeah, a really interesting line for sure, with Pittsburgh only favored by 1 point at home, which would tell you on its surface that oddsmakers believe that Indianapolis is the better team.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is very curious to me, but you know, after having watched the Colts play last weekend, it's really hard to see me wanting to take them on the road here in a pretty tough game against the Steelers, who have been improving.
Mm-hmm.
Rudolph came back and was a little bit rusty in the first half, but really looked good in that second half. So right now it's probably going to be a pass for me on this one.
Right. Me too. The Titans at Carolina. This is, you know, Carolina came off the bye and just got throttled in San Francisco. They get to come home. The Titans did cover for us in the contest. You know, typically speaking, I would say the Titans would be the call here as a lean, but they've been playing all these close games. It's definitely, I'm losing some hair watching these games with these mm-hmm. guys. They played well early against the Bucs and let them come all the way back, and then they did win the game. So it's a stay away spot for me action. I think that it's priced exactly right. Yeah, maybe not. I mean, the Titans really are the pick here, but it's hard to follow this team on the road. I mean, Tannehill's played better, and the defense is solid, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we kind of got lucky to win that Tennessee game on Sunday. They got dominated in the box score by Tampa Bay, but thankfully our man Jameis came through with 4 interceptions and brought us home. And that referees helped a little bit at the end too, when Tampa Bay had the just total demolition of the holder, I think it was, and they returned the touchdown, but the referees blew the whistle, and that probably would have won Tampa the game. Yeah. So long story short, I don't really have interest in backing the Titans, although I do agree that has to be the only side in this game.
Mm-hmm. Next one is Detroit at Oakland. Oakland's a 2-point favorite at home. Really interesting game here, action. The Lions' defense is kind of baffling to me. I think it's the whole bend but not break defense, but they're actually breaking more than they should. But Oakland is a mystery. They played pretty well on Sunday. They're going home. They've been on the road forever, it seems like. But the index says take the Lions. It's weird, you know. Any thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I agree with the index here. I think that Detroit is the play. You've got an Oakland team who's been on the road for, I think, 5 weeks now.
Yep.
And they're coming back home, and I think there's an old handicapping adage, especially in professional sports, where athletes are on a long road trip and they finally get home and they have so many other things in their life that they have to take care of, which they need to take care of, and they are not focused on the game at hand. Mm-hmm. So I think from a situational perspective, Detroit has a huge advantage here. And when it comes down to football, I was impressed with the Detroit effort that they gave against the Giants this past weekend. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing all week about how there's some turmoil in the locker room after the trade of the free safety, and how there might be some upheaval within the team. And they really came out and gave max effort on Sunday. So I think I would be looking at Detroit here. Okay. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the index picks. I mean, we got to decide. I always pick 6, but it's one of those games. I mean, they're getting points. I think they're the better team. They are on the road, but I'm hoping this number actually floats up and we that field goal or at least 2.5. So, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. So that's one of the picks.
I mean, it did open at a pick'em and it's out to Oakland -2 now. Mm-hmm. So perhaps could rise up a little bit further.
Perfect. The next one is Tampa Bay at Seattle. Seattle is 6.5-point favorites at home. I actually like the over in this game at 53. You know, it's a tough spot. I actually want to stay away here, action. I know that I think the Seahawks are the better team, clearly. For some reason, Seattle can't win at home right now, or they're not playing well at home, at least. So it's one of these things that a full touchdown or 6.5. I mean, Jameis, as bad as he can be, he still throws for 400 yards and connects for touchdowns late. I mean, they were down and out in that game against the Titans. They came all the way back, maybe could have won, like you said. So they frighten me. There's one of those teams that they might be 2-6 or something, or 2-5, but they can scare you. And Seattle, as much as they can, you know, sling the ball and run the ball, they for some reason that defense can't get stops. So it's a stay away spot for me.
Yeah, I mean, the Seattle offense has been phenomenal this season, second ranked passing efficiency. And I think that you're probably looking on the right side there with the over. but I do think it's probably a little bit too many points for them to lay here, 6.5, almost turning towards 7 in some spots. Mm. So it would probably be Tampa or pass for me.
Interesting. All right, the next one is confounding. It looks like we have conflicting information. We have Cleveland at Denver. This opened up at Cleveland being a 3-point favorite. It is flipped all the way to 1.5 for the Broncos. Is that what you're seeing?
No, I think this is backwards. Okay. What I put on here was the opener. It's Cleveland -3 now.
Okay. I'm all over Denver, dude. I know that Flacco may not start. I don't really care. I think this Browns team is in turmoil. And defensively, and we'll see, maybe there's too much stuff going on with Flacco complaining about the offense or something, but them coming home mile high, that Denver defense is playing really well. They played great at the Colts again. Should have won the game. We know that. And I'm happy for your Vinatieri kicker guy there.
Oh, thank you.
He did shank one earlier as we had an extra point. But
yeah, I missed two.
But Denver, God, if this team could score like 5 more points a game, they'd probably be like 6-2. So I don't know why Cleveland would lay points on the road anyway. They're not that good. And this seems like a carryover from the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I think probably what's driving this move is the quarterback change. Mm-hmm. Flacco is not going to start. It sounds like he's got a neck injury.
Yep.
So they're going to Brandon Allen, I think is the guy's name.
Sure.
And I don't know, to me, he's a complete unknown. He may have played a few games in the preseason, but I have no idea what to expect out of him. Perhaps it's worth a little bit of investigation and to see what his numbers looked like.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty short total here in this one, 42.5. And it is always a difficult place to play at Mile High. So I think, I don't know about this one, Wiggs.
That's okay.
Maybe a little more investigation. We can talk about it later in the week.
For you on this one. Yeah, no, I don't want you to. We got money on the line here. That's cool. But yeah, I think on its surface, you know, Cleveland getting points on a road makes no sense. So the next one, Green Bay at the Chargers. Packers are, I showed it as 3, but I think it's probably trending upwards. They're 3-point favorites on the road. Unlike the Browns, I'm all over the Packers here for 2 reasons. One, the Chargers don't have a home stadium. This will be a whole Packer fest over there. It'll be Lambeau West. And then secondly, you look at the numbers, it's kind of weird. The Chargers play decent defense, but that offense is atrocious. They can't run the ball. And the Packers just, they're, even though their defense isn't as good as it kind of shows up on, you know, like in the games, like they're winning games, but their defense isn't that great. They really are a much better team than the Chargers. So I'm all over the Pack. I already betted it actually at the 3. So if it's a 3.5, I'd still take that too.
Yeah, I agree. I think 3.5, 4 is even a good number in this game. You've got the Packers who are just on an absolute roll right now. And on the flip side, the Chargers can't do anything right, even though they were lucky to get the victory in Chicago this past weekend.
Yes.
That was certainly another lucky victory for us because they got dominated in the box score in that one too. I think that Chicago probably should have won that game by at least 10 points.
Yeah.
And you look at this Green Bay defense, and they're playing pretty well. They're 8th ranked in defending the pass, and I think that's going to be very important when they face off against Phillip Rivers and company on Sunday. So I like Green Bay, and I'd be happy to lay 4 even.
All right, we should lock that one in then. We'll see what the spread comes out on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is New England at Baltimore. We are at odds on this one. Baltimore is 3.5-point dog at home. They are coming off the bye. We know John Harbaugh is incredible. I just can't step in front of the Patriots, man. 3.5, I don't care if it's 4.5. I think they're going to have a game plan to beat Lamar Jackson, and maybe they can keep it close, but their defense hasn't been as good as in years past. So unless this number goes way up, I can't take the Ravens. I'm sorry, buddy.
Okay, well, my concern with the Patriots outside of their offense in general, which has been not good this year at all, is really just the holes in the run defense, which I noticed on Sunday.
Okay.
You had Nick Chubb, who was running all over them initially, but the couple of early fumbles really, I think, led the Browns to get away from the running game.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up putting 159 yards on the ground against the Patriots, and I was impressed with that. And when you look at the Baltimore offense, the one thing that they're going to do this weekend is run the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Right at New England.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they potentially are in a position to have some success this weekend and really just keep the ball away from Tom Brady. So I think that this is a really good spot for Baltimore coming off the bye mm-hmm. and now facing off New England at home on a Sunday Night Football. And I also like John Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Belichick obviously is number one, but John Harbaugh is right there behind him and Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this is a good spot for Baltimore. And I know it's hard to step in front of New England, but I already did it.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps we could talk a little bit more about this one or just pass on it altogether if we can't come to agreement.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, if it's our like fifth, maybe you can talk me into it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's hard to, it's, especially Sunday night, I'll be watching it. I'll be like, you know, my stomach will be turning as Brady lights them up or something. But, you know, anyway. All right, last game is Dallas at the Giants. You're listing as 7.5-point favorites at the Giants. The Cowboys are a mystery for everybody. They're incredible in the metrics. They are in the WEGS index. This is a smash spot. They should destroy this team by more than the 7 or 7.5. I'm all over the Cowboys, but stranger things have happened, like the Jets. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure what to say besides the Giants' defense is bad. They got crushed by the Lions. I think that if Amari Cooper, I know he's not 100%, but he plays different element to the Dallas offense. Obviously, Zeke hasn't even gotten the ball like he usually does, but he's healthy. So I don't know. I don't see the Giants staying in this number, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a good spot for Dallas. Huge division game. Gives them an opportunity to really stake a claim to the stranglehold, and they are coming off the bye. So presumably they're going to be a little bit more healthy, and I expect that their offensive linemen are going to be back and much healthier than they were before. And I think that Dak Prescott is going to have some success against that Giants passing defense, which is near the bottom of the league, 28th ranked. So I think that 7 would be a juicy number.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it comes out at that. It does look like it's 7s mainly across the board.
Good.
So if we see that Thursday, you can convince me.
Okay, cool. Excellent. Just to review the index picks from this week, we just said at Cowboys -7 at the Giants. I already bet that at -115. Green Bay -3 at the Chargers. I got it at that -130. It's probably 3.5 now. If Minnesota comes out at a 2.5-point favorite at Kansas City, that's the lock. Denver, they're 3-point favorites at home against Cleveland. I think it might even go up. They're -103 with the whole Flacco news. Detroit at Oakland getting the 2 points. And then the Jags +1.5 against Houston in their second home of London.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the 6 picks.
All right. Well, the WEGS index has been hot, so hopefully it can keep going, and hopefully we can keep going. Start of Q3.
That's right.
So time for us to buckle in and really get after it.
Absolutely. You know, we can still make some money, and definitely would love to do that, especially before Christmas. And besides that, it's fun to be engaged in the contest and definitely get on the winning ways. We had a couple good weeks there, and then we just fell down for a couple weeks. So, you know, we're not that far off when you look at it.
Yeah.
Not just from the top guy, but the top 10. I mean, I think we're only like 7 back or something in the top 10. So that's not that far. So we can do it.
Yes. We still have 9 weeks left in this season. So mm-hmm. that's plenty of games to make up ground, especially only 11.
That's right. And just some programming note, we are going to be doing a special NCAA basketball preview separate from our normal podcast for next week. So look for that. I don't know when we'll do that. We have to figure that out, I guess, action.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, obviously the season starts November 5th. We'd like to get it out that day or before that. And a lot of exciting stuff. That's kind of our main tilt after the football season is all college basketball all the time, less than the NBA. Sorry, Melissa. You know, we really dig into KenPom and other metrics and things like that to start getting the handicaps for college basketball.
Yeah, I've already started reading my Blue Ribbon yearbook, and I've only gotten through 2 teams so far,
wow.
Indiana and Arizona State.
Nice.
But I have a lot more to go, and I will tell you, Wags, that I have been super hot in the NBA, so
uh-oh.
Maybe taking a little back seat in the NCAA this year, but no, I'm just kidding. They're going to be equal footing. So. we'll get it going, and really looking forward to that preseason podcast.
Absolutely. It's always fun to review. You know, I like college for a couple reasons more than the pros. Obviously, we want you guys to win money out there, but you know, college, just the basketball is so much more fun to watch. Those guys are fired up, and you know, the fans get into it. It's just a different brand of basketball, and as a coach, I really like to see that and get fired up. So last year, yeah. Action was red hot last year with Texas Tech. He just rolled them all the way to the end, won some good money, and we'll see if we can put some money in your pockets in that season too.
Yeah, and just a quick update on the NBA front. Ben Simmons threw 3 games, Wiggs. 0 for 0.
0.0. I know. I checked last night. I was laughing my ass off because I was like, oh, I'm going to show Action. He's going to shoot one. This guy, he's never shooting the ball from out there. It's hilarious.
No,
so.
He's not. Easiest money ever made.
So he's got a lot of season left, but 16.5 makes seems like a distant option right now. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. It's only 3 games in, but whatever.
True.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. Send any comments and questions. We really like handling those. Follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at SideActionPod on Twitter, and we'll check in with you twice next week.
That's right. Looking forward to it. Peace out. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.